So many of us can remember different athletes that we have admired, especially when it comes to the Olympics. And in the past few years, I think many of us have been captivated as we've watched Simone Biles. She is just incredible. Something about the gymnastics just always captures our collective attention. And so we watch her compete, and we watch her earn medals, and we watch her just impress us with her skills. But I suspect that you may have looked like I did at her training regimen. What does it take to pull that off? And so in her training season, she would wake up at the same time every morning and eat the same breakfast, which was fruit and oatmeal, no coffee, and then train for 3 hours. She would then take an hour break for lunch and perhaps an hour nap, and then go back and train 3 more hours. And she had regular visits to sports physicians and ice baths and boots and different kinds of supplements, different things she would do on a regular basis to train to do what we watch her do when an event happens. And so she's one of the first athletes in a long time in gymnastics to win a medal at every single event in a single Olympic or World Championship games. Pretty incredible. What you see takes a lot of work behind the scenes. Although that incredible athletic prowess is the end result of a lot of training. So Earl Young, when you win a gold medal in the relay, you don't just go buy some shoes and find some guys who happen to be in the neighborhood and go run a race. A lot of training to pull that off. You guys know we have an Olympic gold medalist in our crowd, right? You know this. It's pretty cool. But Earl, I think you might be doing your best work these days. That's what I think with your team. That kind of prowess takes a lot of training. In the same way, if you want to be someone who is, let's say, a calmer presence, you don't just go listen to some great sermon on Matthew chapter 6 and then go out and be less anxious. It's not how it works. There's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes. It reminds me of what Jim Barnett said in his sermon a few months ago, that big things require small actions. So in our adult Bible classes, we're studying the promises that God has given us, and I'm so glad that we're doing that. In this sermon series, we're going to study the practices that God has given us. Both of these things go together to produce an integrated Christian life. We talk about spiritual disciplines and practices, just to word about me and my background, so you know where I'm coming from as a participant on the journey with you. I grew up in Churches of Christ, and we really focused on, in my upbringing, two spiritual disciplines. We didn't call them that, but it was Bible reading, particularly study, and intercessory prayer. So maybe not a full gamut of prayer, but we definitely knew how to make lists and pray for people, and I'm so thankful we did that. But those were the two practices that I remember. And even going to college and starting to study biblical studies and ministry, we didn't do a lot of formational things. Not a lot of talk about how to spiritually form ourselves to get ready for ministry. In fact, it wasn't really until seminary, until graduate school, that many of my friends and I encountered this category of things. We took a week-long class called Spiritual Formation, which felt more like an incredible retreat than it did a graduate class. And I remember at various points in that week, we would look at each other and say, why are we just now getting this? Where has this been? This is so helpful to read these incredible thinkers, but not just thinkers, these practitioners who get us deeper with God. Where has that been? Because this is really helpful. And some of you may feel the same way. You have encountered different ones of these at different points in your life. But I tell you that to say, I'm not great at these things. I'm not here as someone who has done these pretty well and is here to show you how to make these work like they work for me. Some weeks, my only reliable Bible reading is getting ready for the sermon. Some days, my prayers feel empty or I don't even get to them. So I'm not some guru here. I am with you on this journey as we seek to be more like Jesus. I know that some of us hear spiritual disciplines and we think, oh, great. I don't like this. I'm not good at it. That's not how I live it out. Like, what is this, some sort of mystical thing? And some of us hear this and we're like, this is perfect. This is right up my alley. I love this stuff. So I am a person who naturally reacts like this person, like this is not my thing, but I want to be this person. Maybe that's you too. I'm not excited so much group, but I recognize my need to be in the other one. So this series called Life with God, sort of finishing out this school year arc where we've been talking about our theme of with. And all of our classes and sermons have related to being with God and with each other in one form or another. So we're going to talk for April and May about life with God. And this sermon series comes straight out of a lot of our core values and beliefs at Preston Road. So one of our core values is personal transformation. And a note on our member charge, when we talk about what it means to be a member here, we ask new members to practice the disciplines. That's one of five things that we ask. And one of our vision statements, we are a church who is growing in Christ-likeness. That's what this sermon series is aiming to accomplish. How do we continue to become more like Jesus? Well, to do that, we can look at what Jesus taught and what he practiced. Jesus taught the disciplines. He may not have used that word, but just read Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, there's some disciplines. Or don't store up treasures. There's some simplicity there, isn't it? Or we look at what Jesus practiced. What did he do? Well, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Or as was his custom, he got up to teach. Or after fasting 40 days and nights. Now, don't worry, we're not going to do a 40-day fast. But Jesus practiced these things. That's the core of who he was. So when you hear spiritual disciplines, don't think some weird, mystical group of practices for some special subgroup of Christianity. Think, how can I become more and more like Jesus every day? This really is rooted in a passage that we started out with at the beginning of this year. When we looked at John 15 and that we talked about Jesus with God and that sermon series on John. And this key passage from John 15 where Jesus tells his disciples right before he's going to leave. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Look at that one verse and see that the word remain, like stick with, is there four times. And if you go read the rest of this section, it shows up four more times. How do we remain in Jesus? And so we come to this image that I hinted at last week. The electric vehicle and the streetcar. So let's talk about electric vehicles for a moment. Kind of a controversial subject these days. Not sure, some people aren't sure what their future is. Are they going to make it or not? I'm not here to offer opinions on that. But the model for the electric vehicle is this, that you pull in somewhere, you charge up, and then you go expend the energy until you can come back and charge again. And when I hear people talk about their faith, they'll often use this kind of image. Like, I really love being here on Sundays. I get my batteries recharged, and then I go out and get hit again for 6 days and come back and get recharged. And I get that. Many of you are in environments that test your faith and your resolve. It's difficult. Your weeks are hard. And so I really appreciate that you view the weekly gathering with brothers and sisters in Christ as an energetic time that is helpful and encouraging to you. I want you to view it that way. But if we're not careful, that model kind of says, this is when I come and do my spiritual thing, and then I go out there and do my other thing, and then I come back and do the spiritual thing. I know we don't mean that, but sometimes it feels that way. So one model is come back for the recharge, go out and get emptied, and come back. There's another model. I'm thinking about streetcars. So I am a fan of public transportation. Dallas kind of has public transportation, technically. But I have used public transportation in many cities that I go visit. Even my family, we'll lug suitcases a couple of blocks downtown because we are not going to rent a car and try to park. You know, so we've been to Seattle and done public transportation. We've been to D.C. and done public transportation. We were just in Chicago for spring break and flew straight to Midway and took the L downtown and walked around. Lots of miles. It's better than trying to park. When I was doing doctoral work in Atlanta and was there for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, I did not want to pay for a rental car. So I would fly into the airport and take their public transportation as close as I could to where I needed to be. And sometimes I would cheat and use Ubers. But I like doing that. It's an efficient way. And so one form of public transportation that I've taken, and you may have, is a streetcar. Dallas has kind of two forms of these. They've got the McKinney trolley, and then there's the streetcar that I think goes from downtown down into Oak Cliff. And here's the thing with the streetcar. You know this. They have this thing on the top that's often called a pantograph. It's the little thing that connects the streetcar to the power source. That's a constant connection. So rather than this model that says, I go get powered up, and then I go expend energy, and it's hard, and then I come back and practice my faith, and then I go out, this model says, I am constantly connected. I am remaining. What does it look like to be constantly connected to Jesus? And that is what some of these spiritual disciplines and practices do. Now, most of us probably don't do this, or we don't feel like we do this. And when we don't do this, I don't think it's because we don't want to, or don't care, or don't love Jesus. I know us, and I think the reason we don't do many of these is because we are so busy. Our lives are crazy, aren't they? You have so much on your list. So it's not about desire or love, it's just about all the things that crowd into our time space and make it hard to have regular spiritual practices through the week. And so that 1 hour or 2 hour block on Sunday sometimes is all we are able to do. And so I'm not here to guilt you about that. I'm going to say that several times. But I'm here to say, you know how draining it can be when that's all we're able to do. And then during the week we're hit and hit and hit, and we don't feel connected to Jesus in those times. So my goals in this series, I'm not trying to get us to be from like a 2 to a 10 on some, not that there's a scale, but if there were a scale, first of all, you're further ahead than a 2, okay? Let's just, don't beat yourself up. I'm not trying to move us in some huge direction. I'm just trying to get most of us, let's say from a 4 or a 5 to a 6 or a 7. Specifically, at the end of this, what if you found 1 or 2 practices that you thought would be very helpful, and you took some small steps to make them more regular parts of your life? That seems pretty realistic, doesn't it? We're not trying to become this super Christian that does all these things that didn't do them before. We're trying to pick a few things to help us grow closer to Jesus, to be more like Him. I want to give you some principles that I thought about that inform how I think about disciplines and how I'm going to preach and teach about them. By the way, all these are online. I've put them on our website at prestonroad.org/disciplines. So these 8 principles I'm about to tell you are there, as well as my first round at putting some resources there. General resources on spiritual practices, specific ones on particular practices. I am going to keep updating that, and I'd love for you to help me. So as you look that over, you may be a person who is really plugged into some of these things. Feel free to recommend some resources for us to put online. Let's sort of crowdsource this. And again, it's not so you can look at a list of 50 things and think, I'll never get there. It's so you have an idea of what's out there and could say, that 1 or 2 looks helpful to me. Let's explore that a little bit. But let me just give you 8 principles. I just kind of thought of these. These are not definitive, but things that inform me. First of all, practicing the disciplines does not make God love us more. That is not what we're aiming for, and it's not what it accomplishes. We're not doing this to get in good with God or because He doesn't love us enough, and if I just prayed more, He would love me more. We practice the disciplines to help us love God more, not to help God love us more. He already loves you. You don't need to work hard to make Him love you more. And second, related to that, we're not adding guilt. The last thing you need is some other person telling you something you're not doing well enough. We are not, in Jesus' words, trying to tie heavy burdens onto people. This is not about making you see some deficit between where you are and where you think everyone else is. It's just not how this works. We are not doing this to add guilt at all you're not doing. The third thing is we are not all trying to become mystics or contemplatives. We're not wired that way. Some of us are, and I love that. Some of us are not. I remember being at an event several years ago with a lot of ministers, and a person who was known for teaching spiritual disciplines and practices was talking about ministers he knew that were good, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but it made me ask him this question. I said, "Are you saying that the only way to be a good minister is to be a contemplative?" Fully expecting him to say, "Oh, no, no, you misheard me," because surely he wouldn't think that. And he said, "You know, I'll have to think about that." And I thought, that bothers me, because I know a lot of different types of ministers who are good at what they do, and they're not all contemplatives. I'm not a contemplative. Like, that's not who I am. And so many of you are not either. I'm not trying to form us into, we don't all need to be in some sort of monastic community practicing the disciplines 24/7. That's not where we're headed. So some of you, you're wired that way, and you have a lot to teach us. But others of us are not wired that way. That's not where we're headed, to try to be some completely different kind of person than we are. Number four, the disciplines are not an end. They are a means to an end. We don't learn how to pray so that we can be a person who prays a lot. We learn how to pray so that we can act like Jesus when it matters. We don't fast because we want to be a person who fasts. We want to fast because we want to continue to recognize our full dependence on God. So the disciplines aren't something we practice to get some sort of badge or trophy to say, "I do this." They help us to become more like Jesus when it matters. Number five, you don't have to feel like it. There's a great line in Christianity that says, everything you do has to be heartfelt in the moment. I guarantee you the people who train for things do not always feel like it or enjoy it. And it is not some lesser form of faith to pray when you just don't feel like it. In fact, that might be the most important time to pray. So it's not about having the desire and feeling the chills and just being right there in the Lord's presence. That may happen sometimes, but that's not the signal that you're doing it right. It is okay to pray, to study, to fast, all these things, even if right then you don't feel like it or don't feel super spiritual. I hope that's okay, because I don't feel like it all the time. But I am working towards something greater. Number six, people practice differently. There's not some one-size-fits-all model that we're trying to impose on everyone. I love these words from the writer Thomas A. Kempis. He says, all cannot use one kind of spiritual exercise, but one is more useful for this person and another for that. Some suit better with us on working days and others on holy days. In the time of temptation, we have need of some exercises and of others in time of peace. Some we mind when we are pensive and others when we rejoice in the Lord. We're all at different points on that journey. Some of us right now are in times of peace, and some are in times of temptation. Our goal is to find the things that most help us look more like Jesus. Now, there's kind of a big list of things, but we're going to choose from those, and it's not going to look the same. You're not all going to pray with the same frequency and the same type. You're not all going to fast the same way. We're not all going to serve others at the exact same pace or the exact same type. And that is okay. Number seven, all Christian formation is counterformation. It is naive to think that we are just blank slates. We are being formed. 7 days a week, things are forming us. And there are so many forces trying to form us into people who are greedy and lustful and angry and you name it. So when we neglect our Christian formation, we are letting all this win. So Christian formation is counterformation. There's a lot we're up against, isn't there? We are forming ourselves as a form of resistance to
to that.
So all Christian formation is counterformation. Finally, Christian formation and spiritual disciplines are, in fact, evangelistic. The disciplined life is a testimony to others. We're not doing this just so we can be internally right with the Lord. This is a way to be evangelistic. I love these words from St. Seraphim of Sarov, who says, "Acquire inner peace, and thousands around you will find their salvation." The draw of someone who is disciplined is pretty large. There are people getting lots of money to train others how to take ice baths in the morning, right? So there's people who practice all kinds of disciplines and influencers doing all these things, and everybody's like, they do that every day and they're getting great results. I want to be like that. The same is true for Christian formation. A life that is disciplined and a life that is formed into the image of Christ is in fact a testimony to others that might make them interested in following Jesus. So we don't practice the disciplines just to some internal measure. We do it to help point others to Jesus Christ. When you think about disciplines, I don't know what you think about. You have a list. Here are some that we're going to cover just as a preview. These aren't the only ones or the most important ones. I think they're the broadest ones, and they fit with the calendar that I'm trying to preach through. Okay, so don't read. Don't say, well, he left this one out. He must not think it's important. No, it's just time constraints. So we're going to talk about prayer and fasting and simplicity and silence and solitude and service and study. Now, you can read different lists. Richard Foster, I think, has 13. There's a book by Adele Calhoun that's on that resource list. She's got a handbook of several dozen. So, you know, there's not one definition for what is a discipline and what's not. But those are the ones we're going to cover. And one way to think about it is there are some disciplines that involve us restraining from doing things, and there are some disciplines that involve us engaging and doing. There are some disciplines that we do together, and there are some disciplines that we do alone. So you might think about disciplines like fasting. We might be restraining from food, but that's something we could do alone, but there's also biblical precedent for doing that together. A celebration, we engage and do that together. Or we can be restraining from things. We don't speak, and we're alone. Or maybe we're going to engage in scripture reading and study, and we do that alone. So there's doing and there's not doing. There's alone and together, and there's disciplines in all four of those categories, and we're going to talk about disciplines in all of those categories. And again, those are all online. You can see the beginning of that resource list at prestonroad.org/disciplines. I want to leave you with this definition, a hopeful definition from Henry Nouwen. He says that the disciplines, when we practice them, we are creating space in which God can act. Every single one of us has ways in which we want and need God to act in our lives right now. Healing, peace, comfort, clarity. You have ways in which you are asking God to act. And when we practice the disciplines, we create additional space for God to act, for Him to speak, for Him to move. Imagine your life with more room for God to be present because you have taken some small steps to become more and more like Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, we're thankful for the model of your son Jesus, for what he taught, for what he did. We want to remain in him. We want to be more and more like him. So give us courage and conviction. Give us the willpower to do things that would create more space for you to be present in our lives so that we can, in fact, look more like Jesus and so we can point others to him. We pray this in his name. Amen. Let's be standing.